Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
This way, my sweet wife. I'm so excited to wake you up from a deep sleep whenever it sounds like you're having a nightmare.
And I'm excited to know how you like your hamburgers so I can order them for you and ask the waiter to take it back when they've made it wrong.
I'm not going to feel weird about using your toothbrush because our gums are in a partnership.
Yeah, and I'm going to wear your gym shorts around our shared quarters with nothing up top because who cares about nudity with our situation?
you are?
Sure. I love being married to my husband.
I love you too.
You know what? Maybe we should just go back to the ship.
Yeah, pretending to be married is kind of weird.
Our Starfleet VIPs! Attention, everyone! These young lovers are getting a great deal!
Ooba-dooba-dooba-dooba-doob-doob-doob.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Are you trying to start the podcast already?
Yeah, I think I already do that.
All right. Yeah, you are in the song.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we say we're starting
it's
the podcast?
It's a very nice song, Mr. Dan.
Yes, thanks. Dan created the new It's Got Star Trek theme song. Right. He created the previous version.
That we've been using, I think, for several episodes now.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
Since
the 200th episode. We are now on episode 209.
The other one can be put to bed. It has been put to bed.
This episode.
I think we've had a few, haven't we?
Of the It's Got Star Trek.
I don't remember what the
podcast
first one was.
Okay.
This is the 209th episode. Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. The first one, the first 100
first
episodes
one was like a
was
sound
the robot
bit.
Voice.
Yeah.
The robot voice said the title.
Right.
And it was a pain in the ass because sometimes the robot voice website sometimes
right.
went down.
Yeah, right.
It was a
so you had to do it manually. You had to make the robot voice. It's Got Star Trek.
It was a nightmare from an audio perspective. But we are no longer in the era of the first 100 episodes, nor of the second 100 episodes. We are in the beginning of the era of the third 100 episodes.
Error.
It will eventually total 300 total. if we keep on going.
We're going to keep on going.
Then we'll get there.
The podcast must continue.
The podcast that keeps on going.
That's right.
So we have a bunch of news and updates that we have to get through real quick.
Self-sealing stem bolts.
Before we get to the discussion of the episode, Dan, do you know which episode we're discussing this week?
We are doing season 4, episode 6 of The Lower Decks.
What's it called?
Parth Ferengi's Heart Place.
Parth Ferengi.
There was no sound clip I could pull from it. They didn't say that in the episode, so I couldn't like...
They didn't say Parth Ferengi, Heart, and Place.
But there were Ferengis.
Maybe they didn't say Heart and Place.
They probably said Place.
There was some kind of Heart
they
Place.
They said Parth, because Parth was the name of the fella.
Oh, right.
The fella.
The concierge fella.
Right. The hug.
He was played by Dave Foley.
They did say... They said place.
Ah, it was Dave Foley.
They said places. They didn't say. They said workplace. Hmm. Did they say heart?
Dave Foley's a Kids in the Hall guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Oh yeah, they did say heart because of that bed that Rutherford and
so
Andy.
This is something that you could have crafted by pulling the correct sound clip.
I suppose,
but you have let us down once again.
Well. I figure that whole bit was dead because I did that already with Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow.
Well, it was really funny then. People might be looking forward to that type of business.
Oh, well, I guess either I'll bring it back or I can just fucking not bring it back. I don't know. It's up to me, really.
I was just kidding about the lettuce down once again. That's just one of my funny bits.
No, I'm taking that personally, Jesse.
No. I ruined the pug.
Before we talk about Parth Ferengi's heart.
You're trying to say the other thing.
Well, it's because it's an obvious parody of Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, which is an excellent televisual program.
Big salad.
With Matthew Holness and Richard Iwadi and Matt Berry, And I believe you can just access it on YouTube,
Bunch of British guys.
But yes, if you haven't seen Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, go check it out. This episode had nothing to do with that.
Not really.
But it is a clever parody of the name. And by using that, by referencing Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, Mike McMahon and company are indicating to we the audience, we the...
That they're hipsters.
The audience who are profoundly immersed in the highest levels of comedy, we know about Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, whereas some of the normies don't.
Yeah,
the normies.
So it's a message to us.
They're letting us know they're savvy.
They're letting us know they're... cool.
It's a wink, wink.
In inverted commas, as the Brits.
Total package!
As the Brits would say.
Wink, wink.
Yes, but yes. But
see, inverted comma?
Inverted commas is how Brits will often refer to quotes. What we Yanks would refer to as quotes or quotation marks, and I'm doing it with my fingers right now for the audience. Brits might refer to that as inverted commas. They may, I should say. They may.
That's so funny.
Well, the point is, we will be discussing this episode, that episode, Parth Ferengi's Heart Place. We're going to be discussing that momentarily, but briefly,
we're going to discuss Darth Marenghi's Dark.
No, we're not going to discuss that.
When I played, it's a
recommendation. People should go see it, but we're not going
to
discuss it.
I want everyone to know that when I played this sound effect, I didn't mean to play that sound effect.
Okay,
because I didn't want to. I wasn't like trying to insult the British way of doing things. So I hit the wrong sound.
For those of you at home who are keeping score, Dan has freely admitted to two errors today.
That's negative 2 points.
The first was an error of omission.
Wait a minute.
Was an error of commission.
Because he
clicked the wrong button.
Whoa.
The first one omission was an error of omission because he omitted putting together the four things that would, the four quotes that
would
make
up
the
title. Would you say, though, me omitting that was a bug or a feature? I'd say it's a feature because I did it on purpose.
On purpose.
On purpose. something dolphin on purpose. That's a joke, right?
But briefly, increasingly less briefly, we have a few things to go over. Firstly, tremendous thank you to Grayson, TV guy Grayson out there in social media, for mentioning us in his article on warpfactortrek.com about a cool Star Trek podcast for people who are looking to get into Star Trek podcasts. It's Got Star Trek was included amongst a number of luminary podcasts, including 2 Minute Trek,
really,
and Ship Full of Jerks, wow, and Let's Talk About Treks, which I was on last week.
Wow.
Was it last week? I think it was last
week. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And FYI,
that's the podcast that we do.
All the podcasts mentioned are great, but it's really great to be associated with 2 Minute Trek because for me, it's like the most interesting and awesome and clever Trek podcast around.
Right.
It's 2 minutes. Okay. And if they go over the 2 minutes, it just stops. This is great.
I'm sorry. What?
And it's fun to blow through like 10 episodes of that. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what.
Didn't that guy left a message, didn't he?
We got from Jack from 2 Minute Treks on our 200th episode. And that's another one, like Unplanned Trek. It's literal parent podcast, Unplanned Trek. 2 Minute Trek and Unplanned Trek. They're both from Tasmania. So I don't know what they're putting in the jam down there in Tasmania.
What kind of jam do you think?
But whatever they're putting in the jam, it's good. It's good for podcasting.
Do they have strawberries?
I would imagine that in Tasmania they have all
some
sorts
kind
of
strawberries.
They might make they could make a jam out of those Tasmanian devils, you know?
Yeah,
Tasmanian
totally.
With the cancer
jam.
Face, you know, the Tasmanian devils
cancer
have the,
face.
They have the cancer face, so you squeeze them out.
What?
Ew.
Squeeze out the, make a jam out
cancer
of it?
Cancer jam?
I don't know. I'm positing. I'm supposing.
Posi-jam.
What's cancer jam?
I don't know what he's saying.
I don't know what that is either.
You know about the whole thing with Tasmanian devils that have the transmissible cancer on their face?
Oh, Lord.
No. Just look it up. It's horrible.
I'll take your word for it.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Tasmanian devils are, it's not just a clever cartoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a real, they're real things.
Real devils.
I'll stick to the jam.
Thank you, Grayson. That's an awesome mention.
Yes.
It was really appreciated.
It's really great, and everyone should go read the article. We're not just going to rest on our laurels. Check it out. read what Grayson has to say about all the podcasts. You can head over to warpfactortrek.com, and the title of the article is "Incoming Transmission for Podcasts for Trekkies."
Mm-hmm.
So excellent! That's super awesome. All right, moving right along in our very brief opening segment, news and update segment.
Not so brief anymore.
Not so brief. But Beverly Crusher Day is coming up. It's on October 13th. And
that's like a week away or something.
It's coming up soon. And Jesse and Michelle over at Crusher Convo, they're having a big
that's my name
event. Too. It is also there's a lot of Jessies in the Star Trek podcasting world. Crusher Convo is putting together this whole event for Beverly Crusher Day.
Is that like the Beverly thing?
And yeah, and we put together
that was actually from this episode.
We were invited to put together a video. We've done for the first time in our podcast history, we've done a video version of the podcast speaking specifically about Beverly Crusher on the topic of Beverly Crusher.
That was a
Jesse,
lot of fun.
Jesse doesn't. We just recorded it a few days ago. Jesse seems not to remember.
I'm just playing. That's my podcast play.
So that's going to come out then. So that's going to be fun.
It was a little bit nerve wracking. Just because
it was a different vibe.
I was nervous. I was really nervous. that was me the whole time.
It's a different vibe, but it was fun. Hopefully we'll do more stuff and work out all the technological kinks and all that other stuff. But it was a fun time, and we hope you enjoy it. So keep an eye out on social media for, I think the hashtag is Bev Crusher Day. I think Bev Crusher Day is the hashtag. But if you type in Beverly Crusher, Beverly Crusher Day,
Crusher.
You'll see stuff coming up and all sorts of good stuff. So we're Crusher really data. Excited to be a part of that. All right. Next thing.
There's another thing.
Yeah, there's only a couple more things. We're almost there.
More things.
I just briefly wanted to touch on these, even though, yes, these episodes are intended to be evergreen. There are things churning in the Trek universe right now.
Yeah.
The newest thing this week is that Mike McMahon was warning online. He was saying, like, hey, just because everyone loves Lower Decks and everyone thinks it's great, don't assume like we're going to go past 5 seasons. He's like,
what?
He's like, that's what we're working on. We're working on the 5th season and hopefully we do more, but like no guarantees. Don't, right, you know, he's like the streaming world is getting weird. And so a lot of people have been talking about that online. Hopefully if you're listening to this in the future that Lower Decks has continued in some form or another for many years to come.
But there's still a lot of Star Trek to talk about.
There's still a lot of
we haven't even talked
Jesse's
about.
Just taking the practical route, like fucking, you know.
That's pretty surprising to me that they would. I mean, it's not in a way because streaming is streaming and we all know that world, but like Lower Decks I thought was a pretty popular show.
It's like the most popular of the new shows.
Well, I would imagine Strange New Worlds might be.
Yeah, but that's
more popular.
Also another thing. I mean, you know, I think the idea, look, there's a lot of discussion going on. People can go online and read about it, or it won't matter by the time you're hearing this, maybe.
So what's going to happen to Paramount Plus and their whole Star Trek business?
Who knows,
that's part of what people are saying.
Are they turning into something else?
Paramount Plus isn't making any money, right? They're not turning a profit, so who knows? Maybe they'll get bought up or absorbed into something else. Maybe they won't have a
Sony Max.
A budget left or even a purpose to have the whole
they already merged with Showtime. What else do they need?
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily that's not necessarily a good sign.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean that's true.
But who knows?
But I mean HBO did it with what's it called? History or something? Animal Planet?
Discovery Network. And that hasn't been working out so great either.
No, that's true.
Like,
it's a good sign. It means that both Showtime and Paramount Plus weren't...
We just don't know from this vantage point in time because the economics of the streaming system are...
Economics.
Yes, exactly. The economics
my
of the...
Economics.
of my economics. Up in the air. Who knows? We'll see. But just an interesting thing to put out there. The main message that Mike McMahon had was, he was like, look, watch the show. He was like, write about the show being awesome. Watch the show. He said, it's not so helpful. He was like, it's helpful if you do a letter writing campaign after you're canceled. He's like, that's great. Yeah. He's like, it's much better to do all that before it gets canceled.
Oh, yeah.
To be
we're
like,
under attack!
We want this to keep happening. So keep watching the show. If you're listening to this episode, probably you're into Lower Decks. Or you're so into hate watching Lower Decks that you're listening to podcasts about positive podcasts about it. So you like it being around.
And you hate us.
Okay. Second to last thing is very short.
Second
treks.
To last thing.
Second to last thing.
Good night.
Very Short Treks has caused quite the stir on the internet. Ooh. And in the Star Trek community.
It's impossible!
I'm very fascinated by this. We're not going to go into it now.
Oh, it's possible.
But I think, I don't know, we'll see if we can have some time coming up, maybe after Lower Decks or something. I think it might be fun to do like an episode on all the Very Short Treks and talk a little bit about the controversy that has been stirred by these short little vignettes. There's
so much.
You don't have to throw up in my mouth twice. Let's do it.
And the last thing before discussing, getting into the discussion of the episode is just that at the beginning of the second break, we're going to have a little bit of a quiz.
What?
With prizes. And it's not for you guys. Although you guys can participate in the quiz if you want. The quiz is going to be for the people at home.
Oh. Well, then we better not participate because it's not like they're listening.
That's not fair.
When we get to it, you'll be able to participate.
I already have a mug.
I've structured the quiz in such a way that you two gentlemen, were it to behoove you, could participate in this quiz without causing any sort of issue for the participation of the audience.
It's impossible.
It is not, and you'll see why. And in fact, you'll be embarrassed.
Oh no.
Well, maybe not. I don't know about that.
We're under attack.
Anyway, we want to give away some prizes. We got, if you recall, I got a chance to go to the Lower Decks theater premiere.
Yeah.
And they gave us some like cool stickers and luggage tags.
Yeah, those stickers were tight.
A couple other things. Normally I would want to keep these, but both my son and I went with my son and he's got all the same stuff. So we've got them in the house. So we've got some extras here that we can give away as prizes. So that's what we'll do during the quiz. More details in the second break when it's time for the quiz. All right.
I want some of them stickers.
All right. Okay.
Let's do it.
We're all set.
Chief O'Brien.
We are all set to begin. Begin discussing.
Parth Ferengi's
heart. Parth Ferengi's heart plays.
Zalana's on.
Snarth face.
I meant to play.
Okay. Let's do it.
I'm not on point with the sound tonight. I keep screwing it up.
No, I mean, so far, you know.
Two flaboos so far.
Two flaboos, which means you have one left before you've got to leave.
Oh, no. Strike three.
Yeah, we do operate on a three strikes thing, and then Dan has to leave.
A three flaboo.
Flaboo, because when Patrick...
Jesse and I will finish out the show.
When Patrick said it's time to talk about Lower Decks, I played this.
Aww.
And I didn't mean to, because that would imply that I didn't want to talk about Lower Decks, and then I do. I do want to talk about Lower Decks. Although, that brings me to
You better watch it, dude. You're getting close to another flaboo.
Can either of you guess what the sound is from?
No.
It's not from this episode.
No, it's not.
No, it's from a different episode.
It's from last episode.
Oh, it's from last episode.
It was a Patrick requested sound that I didn't have last week.
Oh.
Or two weeks ago, or last week.
Okay, you're confusing me, and my memory is bad enough that I can't even remember what we were talking about last week.
It was
week.
The
and pathological fallacies?
Yeah.
Was that last week's episode?
Yeah.
With Talin?
Yeah.
Squirting out emotion juices, and it made everyone go crazy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It's funny.
And then they were all like, aww.
Yeah.
In response to what?
It was, they were entering the neutral zone.
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. Now I recall, now it's flooded back to me.
Aww.
I remember now, the disappointed Romulans.
The good old neutral zone.
Classic case of disappointed Romulans.
I forgot to mention.
Which is a kink. Not necessarily my kink.
Hmm.
It's a kink. It's out there.
Is it really?
It's out there for, disappointed Romulans.
That's a weird kink.
I mean, here's the
and the thing is, kinks are supposed to be weird by nature, but like that's
wouldn't
weird.
Wouldn't you be more into satisfied Romulans?
Now the gag is you can say anything's a kink. That's the gag, which is tight. Anything can be a kink.
The neutral zone seems to be a kink.
My kink is going to bed sometimes.
That's a kink.
I like to nap. That's
I don't
my kink.
Like
that's
to
a
do
good
that
nap.
That's
a good kink.
Nap. I've got a napping kink.
I like to stay awake. If I could stay awake forever, that would be awesome.
Oh, me too. I think I should be. I think I was.
Wait. You want to stay awake forever?
Well, not forever.
And
but
take
like,
a nap.
You know, just entire.
I have held that I think I was born on a planet with 30-hour days where I could stay up for 20 hours straight and sleep for 10 hours. That's what my schedule always gravitates.
That sounds beast.
Yeah, you know?
I know.
You know?
Must get confusing.
Yeah. Well, at the beginning of last week's episode, I don't know, forgot to mention there was this guy in the background. This is totally last week's conversation. But like when the Betazoids are all partying, if you look, there's a crew member in the background all going like, ooh. He's all like,
did you see the,
he's all jealous of all the cool Betazoids.
Did you see the naked female Ferengi in this episode in the background?
No.
No, I missed that.
Which would be appropriate because while Ram and Lita have instituted reforms as was expected at the end of Deep Space Nine, mm-hmm. and which was called out here. One would imagine that not everyone would necessarily change to the new ways so mm-hmm. swiftly, because I believe the end of Deep Space Nine was
for Ranganar
2375, and
that's just a few years.
And this is 2381, yeah. right? So we're 6 years separated, and in. On Ferenginar, traditionally on for Ferenginar. A long Ferenginar. Time, women were not allowed to wear clothing.
Hmm.
And this was
not
one
even
of
like
the
raincoats. Because it's raining all the
especially the not raincoats.
But it's good if you put the slug juice on your skin.
Slug juice.
Sluggo cola.
And Sluggo chips.
Sluggo bathwater.
Don't they eat like mushrooms? Sluggo and bubble. Worms and stuff?
Sluggo bubble bath. I want some Sluggo bubble bath.
I bet it's delicious.
Moogie. Ferenginar.
Sluggo.
So you're saying in the few, and so there's still pockets of
Ferenginar.
That's how I interpret
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we'll have to watch
on the second
again.
Watch. I always like looking in the background because the show yeah. fills the background with gags.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like from last week, the beginning of the episode, there was a small gag where the crew members all like, "Ooh, look at those
background
gag." Yeah, yeah.
You'll have to forgive my ignorance of Deep Space Nine, but is Rom set up as the Negus at the end?
At the end, yes.
Okay,
which
that's
would
tight.
Be a spoiler for Deep Space Nine, but
I totally was digging
it's
Rom as the Negus.
Yeah.
Grand Negus.
Great. I know. That was great.
I love that scene because it was such a great look they gave each other because they were calling him Grand Negus and then he told him not to.
He's like, no.
And then they called him Negus. He's like, Grand Negus. There was a few, like, there was like three or four good looks in that episode, and that was a good look that Freeman and Vasari gave each other.
This episode highlighted, in a lot of ways, the brilliant animation that this mm-hmm. show offers. And all the episodes are well animated, but every now and then there's one where the expressions and the body language and how people are holding themselves, the activities. One thing that they do really well on this show is there's always something going on and people are doing things. They're not like a lot of animated shows where they're just standing around, which is cheaper to animate, obviously. Mm-hmm. They're living their life. Like all the background characters are doing Star Trek stuff. They're doing stuff like a normal Star Trek extra would be doing in the background. And then, of course, sometimes there's a joke or a gag attached
to it. It's kind of funny whether it's a cartoon or live action to watch like the non-focused, non-speaking characters and what kind of facial expressions they make.
It's also probably a kink.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Wow, that's my kink. Does it mean it has to be sexual? Because I really don't find like...
You don't find looking at background artists?
Then it's a quirk.
And imagining...
It's a quirk. It's well, quirk.
Quirk.
So... It depends.
Grand Negus.
It's a kink if you get sexually excited. It's
a quirk.
If you do not.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there was a few other good looks, like when Freeman, Vasari asked Freeman if she brought any latinum, and like she gave this really like sort of like rolled her eyes because it's funny because he wasn't even like, do you have any latinum? He's like, do you bring any latinum? As if she had latinum.
She was just holding it.
Yeah, she like had it like at home. She has a lot of use for it. It's a dumb question.
I do like how right at the beginning of this episode, or you know, after the
there were two more looks. There were two more looks.
Well, I was just going to briefly mention this, just that because you mentioned the admiral, and you know, people have always talk about the badmirals, you know, the evil admirals.
Yeah.
I like this. In Lower Decks, we were getting we've had some badmirals, but we also have just some dumbmirals. You know, like they're just stupid.
You don't see that too much because it's usually like some kind of like cranky admiral, or a bad admiral. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I hope
looks.
You've been practicing your notarizing.
Look number two. Three looks.
Well, no, there's three more. The original was when they looked.
And another thing.
When Rom told him to call him Grand Admiral, they looked at each other. Freeman and
Grand Admiral. You mean Vasari. Grand Negus?
Or yeah, sorry, Grand.
That's the
Grand
Star Trek.
Negus.
And then when Freeman Vasari asked Freeman if she brought latinum, and then when Rutherford was like talking about that heart bed, and then he was like, if anything, it should be kissy lips or gorgeous green eyes or something.
Yeah,
that's when
that was a very good look.
That was an excellent.
It was also one of the points where.
That was after Tendi said,
what?
And she gave this like look like,
Well, it was one of the points where Tendi blushes.
Yeah, right. The blushing was cool when one of them blushed or both of them blushed.
It got me thinking, though, right? Even though I understand that the blushing as presented is partly because there's a filmic language, there's a cinematic language, a human language of blushing that people understand what that means. But it was clearly a red blush. They've shown other aliens blushing with like blue tint or whatever. Oh. So we had discussed, or certainly I had brought up.
This is a deep, deep cut.
In the Something Borrowed, Something Green episode.
Speaking of red, bloody stuff.
In the bar.
Because blushing is about blood.
In the bar, in Something Borrowed, Something
right.
Green.
Right. I didn't even think about that.
We commented, and other people on the internet had commented, that when Mariner gets stabbed in the shoulder and then the bartender puts out a fishbowl that's filled with bloody knives, and the gag being this happens all the time. Those bloody knives all had red blood, and we were saying, why do they have red blood?
They hadn't stabbed any Klingon, any Vulcans.
What we were wondering is, like, don't do Orions, they have green skin? I guess the assumption was that they probably have green blood, or certainly
well,
not
we don't
red
have,
blood.
Well, we don't have skin-colored blood.
I agree. I'm saying that we should correct our error.
See,
the assumption was incorrect, because if she's blushing red, that makes sense, that because that's what blushing is.
For some
right?
reason,
they could have red
you gotta have copper-based blood. Right?
For some reason, I thought it was gonna be like, like, when I think of, if it's alternate to red, what would it be? And the only thing that comes in mind is, oh, well, it's definitely blue if it's not red.
Blue or purple.
For some reason. Well, for me, it's blue.
Well, Klingons have that
purple
blood.
That pinky blood.
Yeah, so.
Star Trek 6,
blue and green are just so fun together. Like, blue next to each other, you got some blues and some greens.
It's very soothing.
Yeah, yes. Blue-green.
Yeah, like the ocean.
Yeah.
Like the fucking ocean.
Like the motion of the ocean.
Yeah.
Like the lotion for the motion.
An ocean full of lotion.
Yes. Okay.
That's a fucking ecological nightmare.
I know. It's the future. It's coming.
So last
that's
look.
That's what happened on Ryza. That's why they had the weather control on Ryza.
Too much lotion
in their ocean. Like the crabs are all slippery. The eels were slippery before, but you should get a load of them now.
Slippery as
fucking
an eel.
Ryzen eels. It was a gag in Ryza in high school. You'd set loose one of the lotioned up eel in the high school in the hallway, and everyone would go around trying to grab the eel.
Right, it's like a watermelon in the swimming pool.
That joke is going to make sense to only a few people who understand the 1950s in the United States.
The 1950s.
The greased pig contest business.
Oh, man.
Greased pigs.
So last
I'm sure they've done it more recently than the 50s. It's got a 50s vibe, the whole greased pig thing, if you know what I mean.
Last look.
Know what I mean, Myrne?
Last look.
All right, last what? Look.
Last look was...
Dan, Jesse, I'll remind you, Dan has a list of looks, four looks that he highlighted. Not exclusive. There are other looks that are also good, but these are particularly good looks that Dan wanted to call out.
The looks. There's several looks so far.
Last look that I... there's more than just what I called out. I'm just saying these are the ones that stuck out to me the most.
Yeah.
The last look was actually a trick. It's the one from last week, and I'd forgotten that was one of the looks I included. The one where the dude at the beginning of the episode. So that was my little...
But you're not even going to mention it to us because it was last week's?
Well, I already talked about it. It was the one at the beginning where the crew guy was in the background with the Betazoids.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha,
and so
gotcha.
That was my little
So it was three top looks in this episode.
Okay.
But yeah, right.
With a bonus look from last week.
Right, and I didn't realize that I'd done that, so it was a little impromptu joke on my part. I was like, oh, I fucked it up. Let's turn this into a joke. And I think it was a success.
All right.
I think
that
so.
Was funny.
I think you're funny.
That was a funny joke when you thought I was going to say this week, but I said last week's.
Okay.
That's
it was
funny.
The last look.
Yeah. Yeah.
Funny.
One last thing.
It gets funnier the more you insist it's funny.
Total package.
You think this is funny? Well,
what I do think is funny is or no, it's not funny in the humor way. It's funny in the that's funny.
Unusual.
Yeah, that's unusual way. Actually, it's not
funny,
that unusual
ha-ha,
to say.
Or funny unusual.
We get treated again, yet again in this season, we get treated to an opening sequence in which, now in this case, Ferengi, sort of equivalent to Lower Decker Ferengi, gets zapped by this ship that's going around zapping
people. It's zapping everybody.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, I'm buying into the argument that they're not being killed. I think the more of these zapping events, the more to
me. Well,
they
had a Genesis device.
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of things going on here where it's on the surface, it seems to be like, oh, it's just another example. They are giving us a few clues here and there.
There was a Ferengi guy who seemed to know about the attack.
Exactly. That was a different thing.
That was different.
That was different this time.
That was a
new,
which
that
means that
we can assume that it meant that attack. We don't. We can't. We as an audience, you could think, well, maybe he meant something else. But we have to sort of.
I think I have enough confidence in these writers.
It seemed like a light bulb.
It only makes sense if that was intended to give us the clue.
If it was intended.
Intended.
If the goal was to say, here, we're giving you a clue that this is not some implacable cloud of radiation or something. This is a conscious
crystalline entity
being or group of beings or whatever. This is something that can be communicated with. It could be an artificial intelligence. It could be an alien group. It could be people from the future.
Some kind of dorky spaceship.
But it's confirming. It's giving us information because all we've seen is this spaceship, right? And so it can start to get boring to be like, okay, yeah, okay, another crew is zapped. But I think by having the Ferengi ensign or lieutenant, whatever, navigator, I can't quite recall what his position was. Mm-hmm. I do think that that's what they're trying to tell us, which is interesting.
Rule of acquisition 62. Riskier the road, the greater the profit.
It's only a little bit more interesting, but it is interesting. But as I said, because it's Lower Decks, because Lower Decks goes hard into the sort of 90s era optimistic Star Trek style stuff, I think that this season does not end with all these people, including some of them we know and love, like the fellow on the Klingon ship getting vaporized.
That's right. Those were the good guys.
I don't think how this season ends, those people dying, and then there's like, oh, an evil opponent that they then defeat by shooting them in the head. That's not how this season's
going to end. But they did destroy the ships, for sure.
The ships, I believe, are destroyed.
Well, we know they are because in the
there's
first
chunks of
the chunks were both the Romulans and the Klingons
and the Orions, and I forget if they showed in this one, but
the Orions they didn't show the piece with the insignia.
No, but
the Orions,
but they did show like that. You're right. I mean, it's like this is clear that the ships are getting broken to pieces, but I think these people are being beamed somewhere.
They still haven't got like the Andors.
I could be wrong. Maybe they are being killed.
Andorians.
Andorians. Yes.
But there's a number of episodes left, so we'll see what happens.
Or the pig guys?
Yes.
Tellarites.
Tellarites. I'll tell you right now. Where it's time for a break.
Pudding bear.
Yeah, maybe we'll actually talk about the episode.
I'll tell you right now. Okay, it's time for a break. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have a very brief quiz.
The quickest.
With prizes.
I thought that was after the second break.
No, every week. No, I'm saying in the second break.
In the second break.
The beginning of the second break. This is the first break. This is the end of the first break, and then we go to the second break, and then into the third break.
That's a funny way of putting it.
We're using
that's
old
what radio
drive
says,
time
though.
Radio.
I'm not a radio guy.
Radio lingo.
And when we
1990s, late 1990s drive time radio DJ lingo.
We'll come back with a quiz at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
No, that's complicated because of the whole podcasting business.
Yeah, I know.
It's on-demand business.
And analog clocks, too.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it when
we really got to take a break.
When we get back from the break, be right back. Okay, we're back. We have returned from the break.
Okay. We've cleared up some things.
We're rested
and ready for my quiz.
Rested and relaxed.
I've become hip to the jargon. Of the numbering of the break. And it's cool now.
I've been a proper fool.
I won't bring it up again. I've been a proper fool.
My favorite part. Literally, right now, we're not even halfway done recording this podcast. I am so looking forward to next week's recording when Jesse makes some variation of like, well, you said it was going to be... He said it was going to be in the second.
All right. This is the first break.
Okay. All right. So we have a quick quiz.
Okay.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, there's three questions. I'm going to read out the questions. I'm going to have ChatGPT actually try to answer these questions.
ChatGPT.
Give me a second here. I'm going to type in. All right. The first question is a fill in the bank blank question.
Fill in the bank. I don't know if he fills in the bank anymore. When they go in with the cash, they just do the direct deposit.
All right. So I'm going to ask ChatGPT to fill in the blank. Let's see. I don't know what it's going to do. I haven't tried this yet. So blank.
Fill in the stank.
All right. The question, you got to fill in the blank. And the question is, I'm going to ask I said, ChatGPT, fill in the blank. And the blank is,
oh man,
this is a quiz. This is a quiz for fans of our show. And so the question is, fill in the blank. It's blank O'Brien. Blank O'Brien. Let's see what ChatGPT says.
Chief O'Brien.
Ah! Boy, Chief O'Brien.
Interesting.
There it is. I got ChatGPT to speak with a German accent.
What do you say it is? You have to answer the question.
Chief O'Brien.
Okay.
Okay. What the next question is?
Well, I didn't get the answer.
Okay.
What's your answer, Dan?
Balancing the positron compression chamber.
Okay. The next question is, who or what is on it?
See, this isn't. You didn't. Oh. He doesn't even care about our answers.
He knows that we know.
Is often used informally to indicate that someone is taking action or handling a task.
Ah, good.
For example,
oh, it's gonna keep
if
going.
Someone says, I'll take care of it, they mean they will handle the matter or issue at hand.
Ah, good.
So, on it implies that someone is actively addressing a situation or responsibility.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Why does it sound like a German speaker?
Oh, because I selected a German accent.
Anymore. Okay.
German accent.
What type of German accent is that?
You know, it's a computer accent, and it's like kind of halfway doing it.
So, Jesse, what do you say is on it?
I say that Bilan is on it.
Interesting.
But I'm not really. You, Dan, we're not really allowed say? To. I thought we weren't supposed to participate in the contest.
No, Patrick.
No, you can participate. I'll tell you. I haven't given you the actual rules to the quiz yet.
Because
we're just having a little fun.
Wait, so I'm not going
to
get the answer.
We're not eligible
you can
to win.
You can
do I get to win a sticker? Because I would like one of those.
Yeah,
stickers.
You can win a sticker.
Jesse, Patrick's asking me what I think it is.
Oh,
what
do
you
think? I'm sorry. Yes.
Honey.
Clever. And the last question is. It's another fill in the blank. It's okay. Let's blank it.
Okay, let's do it.
Ah!
Whoa,
good. ChatGPT, good job.
God dang.
ChatGPT gets a point. Okay, all right.
Let's do it.
No, let's get serious.
See, he didn't even have any intention of finding our answers.
No, I do, but different answers, because this is a fun quiz. These are the three questions, but we want the wrong answers. We want you to email us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com the wrong answers for these three questions. And that, again, is blank O'Brien, who or what is on it, and okay, let's do it. And these are, of course, for new listeners who are going to be completely flummoxed by all of this. I think we've already played all of these. By accident, Dan previously has played every single one of these sound clips. So go for it, Dan.
Just Bilana's on it.
There you go. There's Bilana's on it.
Chief O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien. That's a classic.
You guys love me?
Okay, that is not one of the ones. Dan's pulling a gag there. Gagging Dan, as he was known. As he was known in high school.
Yeah. What was he gagging on?
What?
Gagging Dan, because Dan is so filled with gags. Dan,
sabotage.
They call him Gagging Dan.
Evidence!
He was always gagging, you know? He's always pulling gags.
Holograms.
Yeah, but the last one is, okay, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it!
Excellent, okay. So, you send us in if you like. You don't have to, but if you like. Feedback
I'm a wild rogue living on the edge of chaos. I sit weird in chairs.
feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Send us your weird answers, the wrong answers to those.
You know, I said weird and
three questions. Too. That's why I said, Dan, Jesse, you can participate as well. You guys can win. No one said we were honest or above board.
You can't predict me.
We've never made that claim. But we do have some of these stickers and stuff and prizes. We'd love to send them out to folks. Even if you live down in Tasmania.
Down in Tasmania.
We'll stick the stickers in a bunch of jam and get it on its way if you happen to win. So, and we'll read out the fun ones. If we get enough fun ones, we'll read them out next week. Okay, we can now get back to our regularly scheduled Star Trek business.
Okay.
Another list? You got another list of things?
Well, there were a few rules of acquisitions. I'm assuming were they new ones, I guess?
I think. I didn't have time to double check because I actually have an old copy of the Ferengi Rules of Acquisition, but it didn't have all of them. Yes. It's kind of like a rack of lamb.
So there was this one at the beginning.
Rule of Acquisition 62. The riskier the road, the greater the profit.
I believe that is an actual one that we've heard before.
There was one later on.
You forgot the eighth rule of acquisition. Small print leads to large risk. You swindled like a true Ferengi.
I can't recall that one. It could be that that's a new one, but I could also buy that one's been
It could be either way, yeah.
And there was actually a third one. Do you remember what the third one was?
Yes.
It was when...
I do. Go ahead.
It was... It was when Vassari was being all super confident, saying that like the this will be the quickest signing in Starfleet history, and then
what an asshole.
And Freeman's all like, you know, I think we should be prepared, and he's like, for what? It's bullshit, you know. And then she's like, respectfully, the 10th rule of acquisition, mm-hmm. And
indicating that she had done her research and she has enough experience,
right? And it showed, and
know what's going on.
And at the very end, Rom was like, you showed you respect our, like, not only, it was two part. It was one, it was like, you're not a sucker, but also you respected our culture. And it was showing that Vassari was not probably, I don't know. He might not have been actively trying to disrespect it, but he wasn't taking it seriously.
Oh no. Yeah. He was effectively disrespecting.
And he got totally swindled. But from the
Which
start,
can actually be considered worse.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you don't even care.
Yeah.
You have so much disrespect that you don't even care to take the effort to double check whether or not you may or not be disrespecting them.
Right.
Somebody can disrespect somebody on purpose and be like, fuck you, I'm doing this on purpose. Mm-hmm. And that sucks. But sometimes the person who's dismissive is even worse.
Yeah.
Because you're like, Jesus, I don't even warrant even you being an asshole to me.
Right. That's true. That's a good point. Like when I was young and like the watch the cartoons,
I'm
and the
full
and,
of them.
And the enemy was all like, you're not even worth killing and stuff. I was like, why isn't he worth killing? You're a bad guy. You're supposed to kill people. But then I started understanding that you need a good reason to kill people. Yeah.
It also helps in the plot from later when that character then comes back and then actually kills the bad guy.
It took me until about 25 before I learned that you need a good reason to kill someone.
I don't think I've found that to be true yet.
Previous to that, Dan was just killing people left and right.
You know me.
That's he just loved killing things.
They called him Stabbing Dan back in high school.
Hey, you know me, man.
So she was showing respect from the start. By the way, the 10th rule is greed is eternal. Greed is eternal.
That one I think existed.
Yeah, previously. I actually looked this up on Memory Alpha. So we're looking to see if... Number 8 is listed, small print leads to large risk, which is that's credited as Parth Ferengi's heart place.
So that's a new one.
And
they are slowly adding to the pantheon.
62, the riskier the road, the greater the profit. Now, it is listed in Parth Ferengi's heart place.
But also listed in
DS9's Rules of Acquisition.
Little green men, though.
It's little green people.
No, it's little green men.
And then business?
Business.
As?
Usual.
Unusual. Business as unusual. No, I'm just kidding, Patrick. You were right.
This is a peculiar new gag that you've thought of.
I know. It's weird.
It's trying to. It's me combating when people do the copy game. That's how you combat it.
By doing the opposite game?
Yeah, but you let them talk first, and then you say the thing, because they're so eager to say it. I've done the copy game. I know all about how that works. We're all familiar with the copy game. You go, stop copying me. Stop copying me. And then someone's like, huh, huh, huh. And the other person goes, huh, huh.
I thought you were referring to that that venerated ancient game where you take it in turns to write ad copy for products you find around your house. You never did that growing up? You didn't write
I've never even considered that.
You didn't write ad copy?
Something that can be done in this life.
It's like a family activity. And then you score it, you know, everyone votes. And when who wrote the, it's kind of like Cards Against Humanity, except it's ad copy.
I've never, that doesn't
it's
seem
just,
like a.
It's just against humanity.
That's just something that can't be done.
You don't think that's a game that you could play?
No.
You don't think right now we could just see like, hey, look at that lamp. Let's write some ad copy for that lamp.
In the copy game, first someone starts.
Eggshell colored lamp.
First you start.
Diffuses the light
first you start,
nicely.
First you start copying them, and then they say, don't stop copying me. And that person says,
don't stop copying me.
And then the next time the person starts making weird sounds, they start going, huh. And so you have to go like, huh. And then they start going, huh, huh, huh. And the other person goes, huh. So then you would just end up with two people going like, wubba, 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 you know, and that's how the copy game devolves. So the way to defeat it is to let them say it and then say a different word, and then their head explodes.
Well, I find this interesting coming from you, Dan, because you're really good at the copy game. You're usually the one who
initiates the copy game.
And your tenacity
is
what lets...
I've only done it once before.
Makes it very difficult for people to compete with you.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, but I must remain modest that I don't...
I appreciate the compliment, but I must remain... Modest that I don't
poop. This is gonna be another one of these episodes.
This is gonna be another one.
It already is.
Hey, well,
I got dizzy. I did that thing where I got dizzy from laughing.
Since we're already there, let's do a beat.
He thinks Rom is the next Lons.
Oops, that wasn't it.
Jesus,
strike three.
This is all fucking up tonight, man. You're Mr. Sound Guy.
We're nothing
without you.
I know.
And you're pushing all the wrong buttons.
Oh. We are more in love than ever before.
That's right.
We are more in love than ever before.
That's right.
What to say about guys?
We are more in love than ever before.
That's right.
Yeah.
We are more in love than ever before.
That's right.
We are more in love than ever before.
That's right.
We are more in love than ever before.
That's right.
This is that new.
We are more in love than ever before.
That's right. Dan's been doing it. We are more in love break than activity. Ever before.
That's right.
Where he plays the sounds over and over again. And
Ransom is supportive of everything I want to do.
That was the first.
And they often have a clever cadence. At least on Lower Decks, it's not always the case with the other shows. But on
we
Lower
are
Decks,
more in love than ever before.
It's a very
that's
musical
right.
show.
We Ransom is supportive of everything I want to do.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah. We are more in
Ransom
love
is supportive
before.
Of everything
that's
I want to
right.
do.
Everything
Ransom
I want
is
to do.
Supportive of everything
before.
I want to do.
That's right.
Yeah. We are more in love
Ransom
than ever
is supportive
before.
Of everything that's I want to right. do.
Well, that was pretty good.
We are more
very
in
good.
Love
Ransom
than
is
ever
supportive
before.
Of everything
that's
I want to
right.
do.
Wah. That was pretty good.
So the thing is for the folks at home.
That was pretty good.
You know, sometimes people are like, why do you let Dan keep going on like that? It's because he's got a gun. I don't know if we've
you
made that clear
me.
Before.
We are fearful of our own lives.
I told you about my views on killing. Just because I understand you need a reason now doesn't mean you need good reason.
Jesse and I are very good friends with Dan. We care very much about him.
But we're scared to
we
death.
We enjoy this whole podcasting thing. We do enjoy most of it, but a lot of this is under threat of violence from Dan. If we do
Pudding
not,
Bear.
We do not show up.
He's a dangerous fellow.
He's honey.
Pointing the gun at me right now with an odd smile on his face.
It's Smumpy.
Oh.
Beer.
Slugo Cola. All right.
Let's start talking about the episode again.
I want to talk about the TV show.
Okay, let's talk about the
TV. I want to talk about the pointless stuff.
Haggle at the Museum of Gambling, gambling at the Museum of Haggling.
Yeah, okay. There's a bunch of fun gags like that in this episode, but I guess it's the C story of Boimler getting
trapped. Well, first, let's go over all the stories.
Okay. Oh.
Let's go over all the stories.
So there's
we've hinted at all of them. There's the negotiating Ferengis, Ferenginars, joining the Federation.
Ferenginar.
Yep, that's one.
Story number one.
Number
then there's
Tendi and Rutherford romantic plot.
Which is what takes place at the Loeb's Lodge.
Loeb's
we
Lodge.
We are more in love than
at
ever
Parth,
before.
Parth,
that's
Ferengi.
Right.
There's Parth. The Parth is the Ferengi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his heart place because they have a heart hotel room.
He's mm-hmm. the Hugsier.
So,
and again, played by Dave Foley.
There's the
and then there's the Boimler business.
But then there's also maybe this is less of a well, it is a second.
And then the Mariner business.
The Mariner business.
You're right.
And there's a continuation.
I guess Boimler's probably the D plot. Though.
Right. The Mariner was in. We'll go to Boimler. I just want to say the Mariner was like basically.
We're gonna go to Boimler. He's on the 405 in a helicopter.
This Mariner plot was kind of a this Mariner.
There's a bunch of Boimlers on. There's a bunch of Boimlers down there. Sorry. It's stupid. I'm allowed to be stupid sometimes, too. We can take it in turns to
oh,
be...
Oh, he's allowed to.
We can take it in turns to be stupid, okay?
Oh.
I was right. going to say that the Mariner plot, this was a continuation of her previous plot where she was trying to sort of find herself kind of thing.
Yes.
Because when... in the few episodes when Ransom called her out for self-sabotage and she was like, why
sabotage!
Do
it? Sabotage!
Self-sabotage.
I thought this was going to click the sabotage button. You've got like 12 sabotage buttons.
I know. I purposely didn't click it because like I'm trying to say something and you said you were going to give me a chance to say something.
We had a chance at art. That's all I'm saying.
No, I mean, sometimes you just got to say things and let them be said.
I do appreciate that. 100%.
Okay, so when Ransom called her out for self-sabotage and she was all like, why do I do that? And then there was a continuation of that because, what's his name? I forget his name, that Ferengi guy. I can't remember what his name is. He was all basically...
Quim? I think it's Quim?
And he basically they had that heart-to-heart at the end about how she fucks her own
Quimp.
Shit up.
It's Quimp.
Quimp. How she fucks her own shit up. So it's kind of like, there is sort of this arc of Mariner trying to find out who she is and what she's trying to accomplish. By the way, I didn't quite get the point at which they met. Like, we know that
she
knew
from,
him.
Well, we
knew
Quimp is the one that she got in season one, I believe.
Yeah.
when Boimler,
like second episode,
yeah, Boimler was upset that he that Mariner had all this experience over him, and even though he read all these books and stuff, he wasn't handling things. And remember that Mariner remembered to be she pretended to be almost swindled by a Ferengi doing the Ferengi finger thing and everything, and she Human. Let she let Boimler, quote unquote, save her, inverted commas, save her.
What we don't know is exactly
this is him appearing again. They were shown to be old friends in that episode,
right? Well, they
she was like, thank you, old friend.
What's not explicitly stated is exactly why they're meeting up. I guess it's just because they're old buds and why not? But she's supposed to be going through the guide duty.
Was guide duty as fun as rumored?
Duty.
Like, her job is to go hang out at bars, and she's like, I'm going to hang out with... The implication here, and I frankly, Dan, I agree. I think they could have fleshed it out a little bit more overtly, a little bit more clearly.
Because it's just that, I kept thinking I was missing something, a point in which they were planning to meet up. But all, I guess it's assumed.
Implications are all very neatly there in the story that they used to be party hard buddies, and... She was looking to recapture some of that as an excuse to just go mad. But of course, as the plot unravels, we realize, no, this is a classic case of the dog catching the car. In other words, Mariner has achieved a point in her career where she has all the things that she has previously claimed she would need in order to have a successful career. And so she no longer has any excuse for not achieving, being a high achiever, because she has the friend group, she has the supportive mother, she has the supportive first officer who's actually helping her out
right.
in meaningful ways.
And this is a continuation of when she first met
Parth. And Parth is, as an old friend, is saying, look.
Quimp.
Oh, Quimp. Yeah, sorry. Thank you. Quimp is the old friend who's saying, like, hey, I grew up, and why haven't you grown up? Like, it's okay to be successful. It's that you can be successful. You can put in the hard work. You don't have the excuse anymore to not do that. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that story.
I did too. Like I said, the only thing I just felt it wasn't a showstopper, but like I was slightly like it was slightly jarring to suddenly see her with him out of nowhere. I thought there could have been some kind of like lead in, but I mean they have to cut time to meet time constraints.
As we've mentioned before, both TAS and Lower Decks, every now and then, more often on TAS, you can feel where they've squeezed more story in than can necessarily fit comfortably in the space that's allowed.
That's what I do with my toilet.
I'm not going to that's an analogy that I'm not going to.
No, it's literally true. I try to put lots of stuff in that toilet and it doesn't all fit.
You know, there are like IKEA organizers.
You organize what I put in my toilet?
I'm just saying you don't have to put everything in the toilet.
I have shelves in my toilet.
I'm imagining, because I'm attempting to avoid imagining the physical representation of the analogy that you've provided, I'm trying to think of a comically absurd version where you're throwing things in the toilet like books and coin collections.
It can be kind of
lamps
like,
and things like
it
that.
It can kind of be like the German toilet you mentioned. The poop shelf.
Yes.
This will be like that, but more.
Jesse saw some poop shelf toilets in
Vienna. Mostly.
That's only one layer of poop shelf. I want like three or four layers and maybe a little side shelf and a cubby. There should be a cubby in the toilet.
You want a poop palace?
A poop
it's
cubby.
Like it's like a mind palace except for poop.
Poop palace.
Yeah, where you have all sort of manner of little halls.
What
rooms.
Are those companies where you buy those systems that you put in your closet to like organize everything? They need to make those for toilets.
It's pretty much what I said, except I used IKEA.
Okay, yeah. What you said then?
Well, you used the term system, which is probably an improvement. Okay.
Okay, let's do it. Let's go back to Boimler. You were talking about Boimler and the travel and the watching TV.
Well, presuming we exhausted what we want to say about Mariner. I bet pretty much. I mean, I think it's another chunk of her story. Mm-hmm. It was good. It's always tricky when you've got this character. You want the character to grow, so you have a character arc. You don't want them to grow too fast, though, but you're dealing with clever, interesting people. Somebody like Mariner, it's like, okay, well, how many times is she going to go through a sort of a variation on this? It's forward movement. I'm not complaining. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, if a character stays too much in stasis, it's kind of like, okay, mm-hmm. well, what's the deal? But I think this was a good job you know, getting a little bit more characterization out there.
I found this episode in general was just kind of like, it was just kind of there. I wasn't like over enthusiastic about it. I didn't dislike it. It was just kind of cruising along.
It was
along.
Four stories that were all kind of fun, but
there wasn't a lot of stuff. I mean, and I don't
really
even
connected.
And I don't even know yet.
Not much thematic connection.
And I don't even know how I feel about the Tenderford. Tendy and Rutherford. Tendyford.
I thought you were talking about some sort of new truck that's coming out. Dodge truck.
Tenderford.
Get the Dodge Tenderford.
I didn't even mean to say that. It's not something I'm trying to come up with. I'm not trying to say Tenderford.
You're not trying to create a portmanteau?
No.
A cute portmanteau?
No.
But they already have, Brotherford.
Yeah.
That's a portmanteau and it's pretty damn cute.
Yeah, it's true. It is cute. I'm not sure exactly how I feel about the whole Tendy Rutherford sexual tension plot. I don't know.
Let's hold on, because there's a lot to talk about that. So I think before that, let's go through the Boimler thing. They have this clever setup where he, of course, is going to overachieve and thinks he's going to go
to... Nothing can stop Rutherford!
He thinks he's going to go to all these places on his itinerary. It's fun to read his list where it's like check into hotel,
oh, right.
Go into
hotel,
like look at, you know, check, payment, whatever, all that jazz. And of course, we know he's going to be derailed. I did find it really clever that the thing that derails him is watching Ferengi TV.
Oh, I don't know what to do.
And specifically how he starts, he gets sort of enraptured by these commercials. And then
it's like mind control.
It's a television show, which was, to me, laugh out loud, LOL style concept of, what was it, like a part landlord cops?
Yeah, landlord cops.
Yeah, it was landlord cops.
He like busts in and is like, you know.
Pock and Dar.
when the guy was
yeah, Pock
like,
and Dar.
I swear she was 20 pounds when I bought her, when we moved in, and you the know, dog was 25 pounds.
You know, I've actually always wondered about that, how they would treat that
They killed the dog.
In a strict apartment.
They instantly put the dog down.
In a strict.
In front of the children. It's terrible.
On the planet.
The laws are terrible.
On the planet Earth.
Welcome to Earth. That's a quote from Independence Day by William Smith.
Okay, see, these are the free association things that I don't know are that helpful. So you're talking about Independence
They're not intended to be helpful.
Okay.
Let's make that clear.
On Earth, I've always wondered what would happen if you were in a strict landlord situation, and they do have rules like that. And what if your animal put on all this weight? What do you think they'd do? Ben, you already gave your answer. They'd shoot your children. Okay, what do you think, Jesse?
I did not say they would shoot your children. I said they would kill the animal in front of your children.
Depends on the city, I think.
And it depends whether or not you have children. If you don't have children, I think they probably let you get away with it.
Okay. Well, I've always wondered what happens when that happens and how they deal with that legally.
Okay.
So if any one of you audience members know out there, email us at itsgotstartrek.com.
Okay. Dan, I happen to have it on good authority that you know how emails work. You know how emails work.
itsgotstartrek@sendus.com.
Okay. It's feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. You can send anything. I'll forward it to Dan. I might even just give you Dan the email address if you ask nicely. Boimler, watching the TV shows. Very funny. I also like, did you notice that the TV had it had the TiVo sound? It had the TiVo bloop sound.
Oh, no, I didn't notice that.
Because he pauses. It's at the end of the show when Ransom calls him. He pauses the show and it does the TiVo bloop.
I didn't notice that.
And for any folks who had a TiVo, that's hilarious. You can tell it's the TiVo blue.
So it was Pog and Dar, Cop Landlords, and then there was Will They, Won't They, which is a workplace comedy where everyone is secretly in love with each other.
That was also fun.
Just sign the leash, dirtbag.
I like that part. Just sign the leash, dirtbag. No.
It's like, give me all your money or I'm going to tell you that you're in favor of tenants' rights.
Yeah. Was that one of the lines?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As his partner was dying, he fleeced him of all his money.
Yeah.
His partner was like, "I'm happy to be cheated by, you know, swindled by somebody like you.
That's honorable."
They just lie to you?
Why?
Yeah, I know, it's great.
He was pretty beat up after 8 hours of television, which is like, I guess, given that they don't watch television like we do. I also liked how they played on the fact that this is kind of a implicit play on the fact that in Star Trek they just don't have TV for some reason.
Boimler says he's like, oh, this is like a Hollow novel.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
Like a two-dimensional Hollow novel, except sleazier, as he said. Do you think that the message? Do you think they had a subtle message?
But like eight hours of TV for me would be a long day, but it wouldn't be
exactly. And that's why I'm asking. I was like, do you guys think that they put that in there to be all like, hey, you guys don't be watching too much TV?
Maybe
we're subtly saying socially nudging you to say don't be sitting there watching eight hours of TV. Which is, by the way, I have no doubt that that's good advice.
Yeah,
now on the other hand.
What about screen time?
Now, on the other hand, he never said anything about not listening to 8 hours of podcast a day.
He never said anything.
Or indeed 16 hours.
Screen time.
He never said anything about looking at computer consoles for 8 hours straight.
Podcasts are not screen time. They're ear time.
Computer consoles are screen time, and they're always looking at computer consoles.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But sometimes they're interacting with them via voice.
Remember when that one time when the computer console broke and Scotty was like, I can't fix this. That means they have to take the Enterprise back and throw it away.
Hey, do you remember that one time when the Kirk asked the computer a question and the computer was like, affirmative?
Yeah, I remember that. I do.
I like that part.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one, yeah.
That was a good one. Was that in a TOS or a TAS?
That was in all of them.
That was in all of them.
It was in every Star Trek.
Affirmative.
Affirmative.
Affirmative. Affirmative.
Kirk is all like, and given that the dimensional portal, has X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah.
Could
there be an evil version of me?
Ooh la la.
Affirmative.
I can't go any farther.
I didn't think.
That was a funny episode of TAS.
That was TAS.
Yes, that was the one with the, what was that one called? Anyway. Go listen to our episodes. That's that one thing. Nickel's worth of free advice to people out there. If you're not
four
sure,
4 years, 7 months, and an odd number of days.
If you're not sure which episodes of It's Got Star Trek to check out next, because you listen to this one, and you're like, I gotta listen to more, but I don't know what to listen to. Check out any of our episodes where we cover the animated series. I think those are almost all of those are good podcast episodes. I think. It's not true of all of our podcast episodes, but I think the TAS ones almost universally. I think
affirmative.
Affirmative. All right. While Dan keeps looking for the affirmative collection of affirmative buttons,
that's not what I'm doing.
The computer saying affirmative. I can sense it because of the sounds that he's played. Clearly, he's looking through a list of TAS sounds, and then he wants the affirmative one.
I don't think I have it, which is weird because I know I've recorded that.
He's then playing other ones in the intervening time that catches eye as well, and he's like, "Well, I don't know, I'll play it because that's a funny one."
It's weird because I know I've had it, but I can't.
I don't
find
think
it.
It's TAS. I think it's TOS. I think it's it's Kirk. It's the Mirror Mirror episode, I think, is where you're going to find the best one. But you didn't do audio clips for the Mirror Mirror episode.
Yeah, but I could have sworn I pulled that one at some point.
Probably. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to be taking a break and going to commercial. And then you all are going to hear a whole bunch of commercials, like 8 minutes of commercials. Mm-hmm. And when we get back, we'll be talking about more Star Trek. If you don't hear commercials when we go to break, something terrible has happened.
Oh, no.
Something terrible.
Oh, no.
So you got to just send us the money directly.
Oh, no.
Email the money to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com and we'll make sure it gets put to good use. You don't have to worry about it at all. All right. With that, we will be right back. Hello and good evening and welcome back.
So is this the third break?
This is the third break.
All right.
Using radio.
I am down.
Radio lingo.
Affirmative.
That's not the right one.
I know.
Dan is now spiraling.
That was a computer sound.
Dan's gonna get be less, sort of have less participation in this last third of the show.
Yeah.
Unless he finds the correct audio file.
I don't have it.
There's nothing that can be done.
There's nothing I can.
I don't even know what I'm in there. Okay.
So, Gag was Boimler said he was going to do all this shit, make it unfun, and he ended up watching TV, and that was that. So, that's where we ended last
break.
It's
a simple gag, but well executed, very amusingly animated, especially Boimler at the end with his bloodshot eyes bugging out of his head and Ransom sicking the local. Ferengi constabulatory on him with their laser whips popping in through the door, which was a fun image. Now we get to the Tandy Rutherford business.
Mm-hmm. What did the internet feel about that? Because I was not sure how I felt.
I don't know. I didn't really look at the internet too much this week. Mm. I was busy doing other things. Mm. And
holograms.
I didn't see any particular things jump out at me that the people had a problem with it.
I guess in the end,
sense that you may have a concern with it. And might I guess what that concern may be? May that concern
I mean, there's only one thing you can draw from that.
I'm wondering if the concern is the will they, won't they, office style, drawn out relationship between two people who clearly like each other. Is that
Blago, I don't know what to do.
like what Boimler was watching on
TV. Is that your concern?
Is your concern
that this is being stretched out?
Well, it's definitely an intro to that concept because like they decided they just want to be friends in the end, which
but they didn't.
And then it was funny, by the way, because they ended there was all this sexual tension and then they entered an obviously sexy filled scenario when they were fixing stuff at the end together. So but I mean that was more just a joke than anything else. But honestly, okay, fine, you could say it's not. I thought it was just a harmless joke, but I do think that this is an intro to a stretching out of like, yes, this romantic sort of will they won't they thing.
Respect and
what were you ah-ing me about?
Stop staring at me. Shut up.
I'm getting there. I do understand where people are coming from if there is that concern. That's the reason why I mentioned it. I haven't heard that concern. That concern welled up in me to some degree. Mm-hmm. But it was actually that end scene that helped crystallize the story they were telling here, which was, yes, Tendi and Rutherford clearly like each other. This is not news. They've liked each other.
You mean like-like?
I mean, like.
Yeah.
The whole blushing and all that other stuff.
So you don't think it was a harmless side joke? Ha ha, this is sexy, but...
I think
it's not like, oh, this is sexy, but they just meet it as friends. You took it as like, no, this crystallizes that they look like each other.
It crystallized the plot of the episode for me in the sense that I think what the theme of this episode was saying is it's not that they don't like each other. It's that they can't be forced into it by others, like by society, can't push them together. They are only going to, they're going to come together on their own terms. And I think more importantly, that they're going to use their own labels or even have a lack of labels for whatever their relationship is at this stage. Mm-hmm. Because I think that is,
you can't predict me.
It's a subtle way of sort of saying, you don't need to be pushing people. Some people just don't respond well to that. And maybe nobody likes that, where it's like, okay, people immediately want you to label and define and your situation, your relationship with people.
Right this way, Muffin Stock.
Positive, negative, platonic, romantic, sexual, not sexual, etc. People want to get those definitions. Society wants to, because they want to categorize
right,
you.
Right. So you're saying it's not like just a harmless joke. It's just saying that they do like each other.
It is, but the both way, a
but
joke
they, but they, but the way they like each other is not like how we'd expect them to be.
It's that they can do whatever the hell they want to do.
But you do think it was an indication that they like each other.
I think when you crawl into a Jeffrey's tube on top of each other,
but that was the joke. It's just like a throw. That could just be a throwaway.
The joke doesn't make sense.
It's like they don't even think of it as sexy because that's how close. That's what friends they are.
The joke works. It could conceivably work multiple different ways. I don't think it actually works in, oh, this is just a silly joke, but they don't like each other. I think it only works as, you could argue, oh, they're fooling themselves. Obviously,
you could
they
just
like
argue that they're so much friends that they don't even consider the fact that it's sexy.
But the reason you can't argue that is because of another very cleverly placed, because a line of dialogue in this episode, which initially aggravated me a little bit until I realized I think they needed to do it to set this up specifically.
Was it this one?
We are more in love than ever before.
That's right.
We are more in love than ever before.
That's right.
I recall that you liked that particular set of, was that labeled beat?
Yes. Okay, of course good. It was.
Beat. never mind. I was about to make a blue joke, and we don't need to do that.
We don't need to
always bring up references to masturbation and other such
things. Whoa, you just did.
No, I didn't.
No. 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 No.
No. But it's not long after that, which is when they are in line and they're kind of joking where their Tendy is saying like, oh, I'm going to learn how you like your hamburger and get mad when it's not done right. Yeah. And he's all like, oh, I'm not going
to. Oh, you're talking about the naked line.
It's when Tendy says, I'm going to wear your shorts and then mm-hmm. wear nothing up top because we're totally comfortable hanging out. And then, of course, they both react in a weird, shy way. Mm-hmm. And at first I was mildly aggravated because I was like, wait a second. They've already shown us that they all shower together Starship Troopers style and it's like the future and they don't like they're like bathing is not sexualized, nudity even to a certain degree is not sexualized in the same way, which is a cool way to think. It's a, not only a cool way to think, but I mean it's subjective whether or not you think that's cool, but it's certainly Gene Roddenberry style Star Trek type of way of thinking that you can desexualize the act of being nude in front of each other, and they've already established that in this episode as well as to some degree or another in the rest of Star Trek and other parts of Star Trek. So at first I was annoyed. I was saying like, why would she be embarrassed walking around partially nude in front of Rutherford since they take showers together? And then I realized, oh, it's because...
Well, it's the implication because that's when married couples do. That's when it first turned as the idea of sexual sort of like married people will be naked around each other because they're so sexually comfortable with each other. I know that you're saying Gene Roddenberry future, but it's the context that's different. It's not like a group shower. It's like, I'm at home. We're so close and intimate that we can just be naked
but
casually.
The key point here is that she gets embarrassed by it. In fact, they both
do. Well, right.
And the embarrassment is the point because if they really didn't care, that's what I'm getting at. I'm getting at that's the evidence that they like each other is the embarrassment caused by the sudden imagining being naked around Rutherford and Rutherford imagining her being partially nude around him. Suddenly, when it doesn't normally cause embarrassment, it's caused embarrassment because of the context as you described. And so that's what I think was
their conversation was sinking into this sort of like you said, it started off with ha cutesy things about hamburgers and then it started sunk into her talking about walking around.
Yeah, yeah.
In his boxers without a shirt. And then that's like bringing up thoughts of, well, I'm wearing your boxers because we just had sex. And
exactly.
Then
which again, only matters. All of this is just to reiterate the point that I don't think it needs to be argued. I think it's obvious, but it's like, they obviously like each other. And this is super interesting character development. Because if they didn't like each other as more than friends, this conversation would have gone this way.
I mean,
in fact, the entire episode would have been no problem.
I mean, I agree that there's something going there. It seems like there's something going on, but I think that could be explained differently just because that would embarrass anybody if you slipped into that sort of mode of conversation.
Not in Star Trek world. That's, again, my line of evidence is that it would not
when you take
Star
a sonic shower, it's because like you're just trying to get clean, but when you're like walking around wearing
your
joking
in line about playing a role in order to write reviews restaurants.
But when you're talking about wearing someone's underwear and being naked, the only place that thought goes to is sex, no matter who you are. If I was talking to either one of you guys,
I firmly disagree because it doesn't have to, because they're talking, they walk around naked with each other anyway.
But the context is different because they don't walk around naked wearing each other's underwear. When I think about wearing someone else's underwear to walking around naked except for someone else's underwear, all I think of is, why am I wearing their underwear? Wow. Because we just had sex.
I'm just suggesting that that's a very narrow way.
I don't think it's narrow. I'm saying it's...
I think you've I think constraining.
No, I think it's just one of the ways it could be interpreted. I do agree that they have something going on. I'm just saying that could be interpreted several ways.
I think that what you're saying is perfectly fine. I'm just arguing that what I'm saying is genius.
Okay. Okay.
The audience can do whatever they want with this. They can become more enlightened.
But just remember.
It's all up to them. We record it and then we put it out there and then people have a little checkbox. That's what we should do. You know, we don't have enough merch. We should do merch where it's like little tally marks for Dan, Jesse, and Patrick.
Tallies of who wins?
Yeah, of who wins. All right. And then you know, we should of course talk about the the Rom and Lita stuff. Even though it's in some ways it's almost framed as like the A story, it's the least goes on, but it's really great stuff because you got mm-hmm. Max Grudenschik back as Rom.
All my favorite baseballs are there.
Who is excellent. You have Chase Masterson back as Lita.
Play ball.
Well, you know, we do like to be progressive feminist here and all that. I was 14, 15, when I was watching Deep Space Nine, I was indeed a fan of Leto.
Kronos, the Klingon homeworld!
Not only wholesome reasons, but I always loved the character. I thought that the direction they took that character was excellent. And so much of that is because of how well Chase Masterson portrayed the character and also found little ways to expand how the character appeared in Deep Space Nine over the course of that. And so it's a wonderful reward to get to see them again. She and Max Gradenchik back as those characters.
Baseball.
And to see them winning, baseball. You know? Winning, because so much of Deep Space Nine, Rom was the underdog and all this. There's a lot of excellent character growth.
I won't do this, but this could be a beat. I won't do it.
Baseball.
That could be like a beat in the background.
Could you demonstrate how it could be?
Baseball. 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 Baseball.
Yeah, we are more in love than ever before.
That's right.
Yeah. We are more in love than ever before.
That's right.
We are more in love than ever before.
That's right.
We are more in love than ever before.
That's right.
I like it. It's good. Yes, I'm glad we did that.
I'm glad we did too. Jesse, were you glad we did that?
I am glad as well.
I was looking at the numbers and was wondering if they could be different.
Different.
He was really good in his Grand Nagus.
Grand Nagus.
It's a great character, and it's one of those wonderful stories where
I love how he's so good. He's like this genius mechanic too.
Yes,
you know,
he's an engineer.
Engineer, I should say. Yeah.
The Max Gradenchik tried out for the role of Quark, and of course, ultimately lost out to Armin Shimerman. But if I recall correctly, I think they created this brother character of Rom because they really did like Max Gradenchik. He'd played other roles in Star Trek prior to that. And again, like Chase Masterson, another person, like a lot of actors on Deep Space Nine were started out with these kind of bit roles, maybe even intended to be one-offs or very just brief character things, and just really grew the role so much. Good to see them. It's fun to see more Deep Space Nine stuff on Lower Decks. Season 4 has had a lot of that, which is great. It was people were a little complaining that it was all a lot of Voyager, a lot of TNG. And it's like, let's get some more Deep Space Nine. Hope they keep that up.
Mm-hmm.
I think Deep Space Nine has a lot of stuff to pull from. Anything else about that story? I mean, you know, it's your basic, as Freeman, Captain Freeman mentioned, is your basic. What did she say? Like, dull, dumb?
Dumb. She said it was like some kind of dumb cop. It was dumb cop, reasonable cop.
Yes, routine. Dumb cop, she reasonable
knew,
cop.
Vasari was totally noobed. She knew what was up, and he was like totally.
We've met this fella before. Isn't he the one who said censors all funny? Oh, and then Mariner got in trouble, I think. He's been demonstrated to be somewhat of an... moron.
But it was cool because at the end when they revealed it was a test, like you can go back and look at it. Like they started out by giving them a gift and then charging them for it.
Yes.
So like even talking to the Ferengi means you're either going to owe them money or you're going to have to be on your guard. And so then they kept pushing it. They expected a bribe to be ordered in order to join. But one of the best, other than of course like it devolving into like just making them dance for him, which was just the ultimate. Like you suck at this.
And the dance was such a. I'm not a fan of this term, but it was a simp dance.
Simp dance.
You know, I don't like the term simp. There's something about the flavor of it.
There's something weird. It brings together some kind of imagery and baggage.
I don't know. There's something. Yeah, there's a deep darkness behind that word somehow. But. I have to admit, in this case, that was very clearly a simp dance.
So, but one of my favorites was on top of the fact that they were expected a bribe in order to join Starfleet or in order to sign the treaty. After they sign that treaty, they still don't have to join. They can be allowed to use any ship in Starfleet at their discretion, whether they end up joining or not. And they have, so they accept a bribe. They can use any ship whenever they want, and you can sign, and then they can just say no thanks. And basically, you just stole some shit from them. And
that was
so
a good deal.
Yeah, that was a pretty awesome deal. Don't ever sign anything that says in perpetuity. That's Dan's legal tip of the week.
We should do a whole podcast where you just give legal advice.
Yeah. I should say, like, this is meant as legal advice. And I'm a doctor, too.
We would have to spend so much time on the and money on the lawyer to actually get the disclaimer that plays ahead of that
to work
podcast.
Yeah,
it would be tricky.
All our insurance companies would drop us for some reason.
All of them. For some reason.
Oh, man.
All right. Anything else about that storyline? Otherwise, should we just go to do some odds and ends? I got a few.
Soupy loopy.
A lot of Lower Decks episodes have a lot of odds and ends, little things here and there.
Soupy loopy. This is the soupy loopy.
There's that whole
song.
Bit with Miggly Moo where you just get all this whole bunch of Miggly Moo all compressed into.
You don't have to throw up in my mouth twice. Let's do it.
I love Dr. Miggly Moo. I love Dr. Miggly Moo. Last episode when he was like, go to it. Was like, enjoy hell, replicator, whatever.
Please don't break up because of me.
what's his species again? I forget.
Bird. He's a bird person.
He's a bird person.
He's one of the many bird people.
You guys love me?
Look, I've said it before. Paul F. Tompkins is one of my favorite people, one of my favorite entertainers, high up on that list of. It's a very long list, and he's almost at the top of it. He's great. Mm-hmm. If you're unfamiliar with Paul F. Tompkins, obviously he's done a lot of great acting. He's brilliant in the podcast sphere, you know, Comedy Bang Bang and Neighborhood Listen and all manner of other podcasts that he's been involved with, Spontanea Nation, etc. I am so happy that he has this role because he's a lifelong Star Trek fan. He's one of the co-hosts with Tawny Newsom of the official Star Trek podcast, the one that Big Star Trek actually pays for.
Mm.
And I really hope they get him on a live action on Strange New Worlds or something soon. Put him in some makeup because he's going to be great. But in lieu of that, I also, and I know it's unlikely to happen because we only get 10 episodes a season and Mike McMahon is telling us they might be canceled soon.
That's a bummer.
Well, he didn't say that. But,
yeah,
you know,
but I mean, it's
still,
like,
it's still,
yeah.
You start thinking about it. Yeah. It's like when you get to our age, you start thinking about death.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like this with the show version of that. But I would love to see a Miggly Moo specific episode, like a day in the life of Dr. Miggly Moo.
Their species is on a search through space for strange new meals.
Strange new meals.
Yeah.
The delivery is so great.
Yeah.
But yes, good call, Jesse. Dr. Miggly Moo is fantastic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I liked, of course, the inclusion of the Sluggo Cola, Sluggo Chips, Sluggo. It was almost like a Spaceballs joke. Spaceballs, the flamethrower. You know, there was like Sluggo stuff all over. And then, of course, the whole concept is just the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The whole idea that you're sending people out to go get reviews of hotels and restaurants and stuff.
Oh, it's like what heaven would look like if God was stupid.
But yeah, it's like that's the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And who was it? Somebody, was it? And that might have been on Let's Talk About Trek. Somebody was talking, I think it was maybe Jack Dorino on Let's Talk About Trek, mentioning that one of the producers talked about how in season 4 they were going to try to do more references to things that were not Star Trek references, right? They'd already done lots of thematic and Easter eggs and stuff from Star Trek, but in season 4, they were going to start pulling from other parts of the media world. And we had Boimler in that room that looked like Twin Peaks, like the red room in Twin Peaks when Boimler died briefly. You have.
Oh, right. Yeah, that one.
You know?
When they were talking backwards.
Yeah. And I think there's been a few examples like
what
that.
What episode was that? I don't even remember.
That was the In the Cradle of Exelon. Oh, when Boimler gets blowed up briefly. Briefly blowed up.
Blowed up.
Blowed up briefly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was just going to say The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I think, is another example where they've transposed that idea into Star Trek.
It is not your time, Robert Boimler.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's Lieutenant's junior grade.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Ransom. Ransom was saying Lieutenant junior grades. Lieutenants, junior grade.
Oh, are you calling them? Are you calling them out on something? Are you
It's a response to Ransom's line. Ransom says it a few different ways, and he's like, "I don't know what the right way to say it is."
Oh,
the right way, Ransom, Commander Ransom, is lieutenants, junior grade.
Oh, is that in this episode?
That's in this episode.
I totally missed that part.
Well, you got to go back and watch it.
Oh man,
again,
I'm such a bummer.
It's all right.
Whoa! Uh oh, here it comes,
Mr. Sneezy.
That's two. Three.
Mr. Sneezy.
Wow, that was a short one.
I suppressed them.
You did. Good.
I'm gonna take that audio clip of Jesse saying you suppressed them. I'm gonna put it into other contexts.
This is, of course, one of Ferenginar's worst felonies. The subaquatic sulfur mines!
Oh, missed it, but that was a fifth one I heard.
Oh, yeah. That was good. All right.
I liked that. This is small one, but I liked when uh-oh.
Jesse, you gone crazy.
Achoo!
Mrs. Sneezy. It's fall here in the Mid-Atlantic. And the leaves are doing all sorts of crazy, crazy shit.
When Mariner tried to start with those, like, that Ferengi biker gang. It's just something, the concept of these Ferengi tough guys was kind of funny. I was like, I never even thought of that.
That also came across, I was trying to rack my brain. I couldn't connect it to an actual reference, but it felt like something you'd see in like a late 80s, early 90s movie where that would be like the comedy gag.
Yeah.
It like, just, almost, or like Wayne's World or something where it's like, okay, the tough guys are comedically being nice. They're like so pleasant and nice. And you have to really push them far in order for them to react the way you'd expect them to.
Right. It was a reference to that, but to me, I was just wondering if they were just introducing the idea that having a big Ferengi tough guy is kind of funny to think about.
Because
you don't
kind
usually
of
think of Ferengi. You always, like, their first appearance in TNG, they were all like, yeah, people can't see us, but we're like hovering over going, we're hunkering right now.
And I'm all like waving my electro snake thing at Dan. I'm waving, my laser whip.
Who man?
Yes, whip.
Oh, good.
So that was funny.
That was funny. I already mentioned the Ferengi naked lady in the background. Of course, we had the Ferengi laser whips, which was
Ferenginar.
Cool. Very importantly, the Starfleet experience is a joke on the Star Trek experience that used to be in Las Vegas.
Mm.
So there's this Quark Starfleet experience where they have like a Type 1 or whatever shuttlecraft from TOS.
The Starfleet experience bar and grill.
There's that little waiter that's dressed up like Spock.
Yes, there's the waiter like Spock. The security people are wearing like Worf style TNGs.
Highly flammable velour or velvet or something, whatever they said.
Yeah, I think it was velour. But yes, that is clearly a parody on the Star Trek, the experience in Las Vegas, which sadly is no longer there. I got to go to that once. One time when I was in Vegas, I had a Warp Core Breach, which was the name of a drink. I mentioned this on, I couldn't remember the name at the time, but on Let's Talk About Treks, I mentioned this whole Warp Core Breach thing, which was, it was a drink designed for two people, I think. And they gave you two straws, and it was a big bowl, like a fishbowl type thing, with a bunch of dry ice and a shitload of rum, and like a bunch, and like some coke. I don't know. I can't remember what
but
else
you got
was in
drunk.
It. And all the, because of the dry ice, all the stuff is coming out. It was pretty bad.
Did they have a dagger of the mind?
No,
that was what Mariner.
I don't think so.
That was what Mariner ordered. I want to know what's in a dagger of the mind.
It sounded pretty fucking intense.
Yeah,
it's like from a pop up bar.
At the very beginning in that opening sequence, they said this, they said, don't care twice. First they said it with, I can't remember which one. I think this was first. No, this was first.
Rom doesn't care.
And then not even a minute later, they go,
Jem doesn't care. Rom doesn't care. Jem doesn't care. Rom doesn't care. Jem doesn't care.
Rom doesn't care.
So I would, sometimes I like to note when they repeat the same sort of phrase. I've been trying this new thing. I don't know if I keep forgetting to do it because it's probably not very good, but I've done it before. And see if you can guess what the game is when I play it.
Okay.
Travel guide duty.
Can you guess what I'm doing?
Okay.
Was guide duty as fun as rumored? Was guide duty as fun as rumored?
It's the old duty joke.
Yeah, I want to make that a thing.
For
travel
folks,
guide duty!
For folks in more mature parts of the world, maybe who are English is a second or third language or fourth, duty, of course, is the duty you might have to your nation or family, but it sounds similar to duty, which is a colloquial phrase meaning feces.
Was guide duty as fun as rumored? Travel guide duty!
Yeah, and it's kind of like, it's almost like that's an order game in a way, because...
Except this has got poop in it.
This is different because there are times they can say duty and it doesn't qualify because they sometimes in Star Trek or anywhere, they actually pronounce the T in duty. So if they say duty, I'm not going to include it. But if they don't pronounce the T, if they say duty, I'm going to try to include it.
Do you think Andorians have cold poops?
I've never thought of that.
Not to, you know, toss in a non sequitur.
Well, I mean, do they have lower body temperatures?
I don't know. They're blue and they like live in the cold.
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe their poops are. Well, they'd still be warmer on the inside.
Do you
think
Cardassians have hot poops?
Everyone's going to be warmer on the inside. That's just kind of how physics and stuff works, right?
All right, Mr. Astrobiologist.
Mr. Xenobiologist.
Mr. Xenoanthropologist.
Xenoorthodontist.
Who knows? Maybe Andorians are colder on the inside than they are on the outside. That's how they can stand the outside.
Yeah, like the Tardis from Doctor Who.
I never got into Doctor Who.
Well, okay, well, the purse from Mary Poppins.
I just remember back when I was a kid and there was the video store, there would be an entire like fucking wall of just old Doctor Who tapes. There was like a million of them. I was like, how many episodes did they make of this? They the original one.
In fact, they lost a ton of those episodes. They just erased over.
Oh, man.
Because that's just how TV used to work.
Yeah, they just lost shit.
Yeah, they didn't invent reruns until later.
I know. Isn't that unbelievable? Talk about FOMO. Like miss an episode and then you never don't get to see it again.
For real.
And so when
it's gone.
And so when in Back to the Future, when Marty was like, oh, I saw this on rerun, like not only did they
and the son was all like, what's a rerun?
Yeah. Did he say that?
Yeah.
I remember that they were being like, nobody has two TVs.
It was
Wayne from The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
Oh, was that Wayne?
It was.
Wayne was also in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. He played the spoiled celebrity kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wayne gets all over the place.
Wayne.
I do think that that will do it for us this week. I think we've thoroughly discussed this episode, and we are looking very much forward to continuing our weekly coverage.
Pudding Bear.
Star Trek Lower Decks' fourth season. Next episode.
Reimburse me for a new burst shirt, too, butt ass.
Next episode is called A Few Badgies More.
So, butt ass.
So A Few Badgies More. So presumably the character of Badgie will figure into this story. A Few Badgies More being a parody on A Few Dollars More, which is part of the, A Fistful of Dollars, A Few Dollars More.
No.
And The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
No.
Will it have anything to do with the story? I don't know. Parth Ferengi's Dark Place. Bore no resemblance to Darth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Reimburse me for a new Garth burst Marenghi's, shirt, too, butt ass.
Darth Marenghi's Dark Place. So probably not. Probably just fun. But anyway, for A Few Badgies More, tune in next week.
Mariner always gets like the best lines.
Well, yeah, she gets very good lines. Tawny Newsome delivers them.
Yeah, that's excellent. What I'm saying. They're awesome.
So in the intervening time, if you'd like to reach out to us, for example, to answer some of the questions, give us some wrong answers to that quiz we had, which I might as well read the questions. The questions are fill in the blank. Blank O'Brien.
You wouldn't understand.
Second question is who or what is on it?
Look, if anyone's weird, it's you.
Third question is fill in the blank. Okay, let's blank it.
This one's about to be soaked in your blood.
You send us in wrong answers. Vote early, vote often. And if there's good ones, we'll send out some prize stickers to folks and read them on the podcast next week. You can, in addition to feedback at iscottstartrek.com, you can also send us in audio recording if you want. We did this for our 200th episode. We'd love to get some more. And you can easily record audio. You can figure out how to do it yourself, of course. But we did make it easy for you.
Good eye, muffin top.
If you like, you can go to www.itsgotstartrek.com/record and record up to 90 seconds of audio.
Which
will be sent to us. And then we can play it on the show for the entertainment and delight of ourselves and the audience.
Play ball!
Exactly. Otherwise, social media, YouTube, Facebook, Blue Sky... It's got Star Trek. At all those places, at It's Got Star Trek. That's where you go. Good. All right. Well, I'm finished. Jesse looks to be finished.
I'm quite finished. Yes.
Jesse finished about 15 minutes ago. Dan, are you finished or are you still clicking buttons?
Mr. I should probably be getting to bed.
Oh, how true.
We can't leave without mentioning, and Jesse mentioned it at the top of the hour, this one.
You've been weathering that stem bolt for so long, it probably can't even self-seal anymore.
Which is a direct reference to DS9 with...
The self-sealing stem bolts.
The self-sealing stem bolts.
I think there have been a few references on Lower Decks to self-sealing stem bolts. The other line I like, there's a ton of them, but I really did like from that television
show.
That
was a Ferengi-related sort of moment.
I liked, you just surrendered your deposit and your life. That was a good line.
Was that from this episode?
Yeah, that was from the TV show, the Ferengi landlord.
Oh, yeah, that was good. I liked those landlords.
It was delivered nicely. Delivered well. And a lot of those Ferengi were played by, I think, It was various actors.
Aquatic Sulfur Mines!
Unfortunately, I don't have the list in front of me, but I know a lot of the regular voice actors from this show provided voices for some of the background, you know, various Ferengis that showed up. So that was
just shine the leash, dirtbag.
Something to listen to next time you listen to or watch this episode. Watch. Okay, that's it for us this week. We'll talk to you again next week. More Star Trek all the time. 100 Year Star Trek.
Baba dobo do. Cats and dogs. Sleeping together.
We'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
Can I interest you in our homewrecker package?
You don't have to throw up in my mouth twice. Let's do it.